This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Well, today, for your sermon, you have a Trinity. Obviously, we're not as good as the real Trinity, but there's three of us that are going to be preaching today. First of all, we're going to have our wonderful David come down, and he's going to read you a story. And we're so grateful for David for doing this. And also, I asked Coco if Coco would help me preach the sermon today, since this day we have decided to celebrate in this Mass St. Francis and the wolf. That's the story that David is going to tell you. Thank you so much, David, for helping me out today. Thank you, Coco, for helping me out today. I'll be back.
Perhaps the most famous story about St. Francis was the time he tamed a wolf that had been terrorizing the people of Gubbio, Italy. The wolf was not only killing and eating animals, but humans as well. The people of Gubbio took up arms to go after the wolf, but any who encountered it only perished at its sharp teeth. Soon they were too afraid to go outside of their city's walls. Francis took pity on them and decided to go out and meet the wolf for himself. The people urgently warned him against this, but he insisted God would take care of him. A brave friar and several peasants accompanied Francis, but soon the peasants lost heart and said they would go no farther. The brave friar and Francis continued on alone. All at once, the wolf charged out of the woods, heading straight for them, and Francis held up his arms, made the sign of the cross, and the power of God caused the wolf to slow and close his mouth. Francis called out, "Brother Wolf, I command you in the name of God to not hurt anyone ever again." At that moment, the wolf lowered his head and lay down at the feet of Francis, meek as a lamb. Francis said, "Brother Wolf, I want you to make peace with the people of Gubbio. We are going to go there. They will not hurt you, and you will not hurt them. All that is past is forgiven. I command you to follow me." And the wolf meekly followed. By the time they got to the city square, everyone had gathered to witness this miracle for themselves. With the wolf at his side, Francis gave a sermon on the wondrous love of God and called the people to repent of all their sins. In a loud voice, they called out, "We will take care of and feed the wolf." Then Francis looked down at the wolf and asked if this way of living in peace was something he would be willing to do. And the wolf bowed his head and twisted his body in some way that convinced the people he had accepted the pact. From that day on, the people of Gubbio and the wolf lived in peace together. The wolf lived for several more years, going from house to house and receiving food. When the wolf finally died from old age, the people of Gubbio were sad. But they knew they had some kind of reminder about how this wolf had lived in peace with them for such a long time. It was a reminder of the love, patience, virtues, and holiness of Francis, a living symbol of the peaceful power and providence of the living God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, the verse that's between 26 and 28, we hear Jesus say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me."
And I apologize to Miriam, because Miriam's with us as well today. I know the Daughters of the King particularly love Miriam. So, Miriam, please forgive me. Thank you. Thank you. And so we've decided to name the wolf an Italian name. He's going to be Matteo, because he's an Italian wolf, right? Oh, come on. Some of you have to be Italian. Everybody in here Italian? Yep, there we go. There we go. St. Francis is the patron saint of ecology. And you know who named him that was John Paul II. And who knew that there would be a pope soon after that would be named Francis. Francis's life reflects the commitment to prayer, hospitality, and respect for creation and all of God's creatures. I wanted to ask Coco to join me today because of her successful ministry, Peace, Love, and Bananas, which has roots in Albert Schweitzer's reverence for all life as its most central core value, and that it is deeply rooted in stewardship. Stewardship is not something that just happens one time a year. It happens throughout your life. It's really important to have that commitment spiritually about how we share our resources with others, including ourselves. So how can we share our good things? That would be my question to you today. How can we share our good things? Coco's friend David has shared with me that she has a magical way of helping people tap into the depths of their minds and souls, and even touching and making safe in some way of approaching a person's unfinished business of life. Just imagine how Coco helped Life Review with some of David's hospice patients several years ago. Coco and I wonder if St. Francis might serve as a kind of known and historic figure who was given an understanding of the preciousness of life, including humans, and how God gives us the power to connect in surprising and delightful ways. Perhaps all of us have our own list of people who represent this or have taught us to step out in courage and follow the invitation of Jesus to love one another. Coco's ministry has been successfully making people feel at ease and being able to connect with others for 38 years. And it still feels for Coco that each day has its new beginning. So he and I had this conversation about this powerful story, and we want to see if you agree with us. So I'm going to ask for some of your responses. Number one, the natural world has a right to exist as much as we do. That was weak.
Yes.
Number two, we must forgive our enemies, but be aware of any danger. We need to make sure that our preconceived notions are released. Yes or no?
Yes.
Appearances are flawed, number three. What you see is not the whole story. Yes or no? Although I understand that it's something like 90% of what we take in is visual, so it's typical, it's tricky. Number four, sometimes our enemies are simply misunderstood. Our perceptions are only ours, and others see the world differently. Yes. Often anger, number five, is a cover for fear. Yes. Violence can be dangerous and an impulsive response to fear. When passions get out of control, we must connect with each other to solve issues. Wisdom is sometimes counterintuitive. Following Jesus and his way of forgiveness is not easy. However, it's very rewarding in unexpected ways. Patience is required of us. Change can be quick, but our reactions need to be considered. So how do we respond to fear would be another question I would ask you today, because I think we have a lot of that and a lot of anxiety. Our natural instincts are an essential part of who we are. And last and most important, God shares that we are all able to love one another and care for creation, and that means all of creation. Please join me if you know this prayer. It actually probably wasn't written by St. Francis, but it's been attributed to him and his theology, and I think most people know it. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And they all said, Amen.